Just like last week when Pastor Kenny filled in for me and he had to do two lessons to get caught up, we've got to do two lessons this morning. So strap in and hang on. All right, we'll see if we can do this to get back so we'll be even with the other Sunday school classes. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 16. That was supposed to be the memory verse for last week, but again, you had 2 weeks prior to that, because we've had so many guest speakers and different things going on, and then the weather. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, it says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's the $100,000 question. When someone asks you, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And it didn't mean because he prayed, the house got saved. You see that the Apostle Paul presented the gospel to the jailer and to his house. They believed, and they got saved. Amen? And so you see with this is that the plan of salvation can go out to all different kinds of people through all different kinds of situations. God uses a wide variety of circumstances to prepare hearts for his glory. In this story we read in the scriptures, this truth, God used Paul and Silas as he was preparing the Philippian jailer. When you say all different times, situations, we've seen people get saved on the street corner. We see people get saved in a nursing home. We see people get saved when someone witnessed to them at work. We see people get saved when a teenager witnesses someone in school. We see people get saved when you hand out tracts going through a store. We see people get saved, like I said, in the hospital. I spent a few hours trying to give a man assurance of his salvation, saved man, but doubting because of where he is in his life yesterday. Okay, so God is not bound by your limitations. Amen? And salvation is not bound by your limitations or your willingness or unwillingness to tell someone when they ask you, "What must I do to be saved?" And if you're praying for souls, if you're praying for circumstances, if you're praying for opportunities, you know what you will always have? Opportunities. Judy and I have been giving out more tracts with her dealing with her cancer than we have any other time in our life. And she'll come home and she'll go, "I gave out one to this person and had a chance, and I gave out one to this person and gave out." How many did you give out? And I said, "Judy, I haven't left the house yet. My dog doesn't need to hear." Amen. Okay. Nala can't get saved. The dog can't get saved. But you know, he was on his second missionary journey. He received a vision of a man in Macedonia praying for Paul to come over and help them. This has led him to Philippi. You find that in verse 9 of Acts 16, where it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" They went there. Paul cast an unclean spirit out of a young woman who had the spirit of divination, that she was making money for her masters, and they got upset. You know, so many times, you know what people do? They get upset when it comes down to money, don't they? Because the Bible teaches you can't get away from it. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. Money is a means to be used to provide. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, not a root of all kinds of evil. Okay, they changed it in some Bibles. It's the root of all evil, the love of that. Okay, and so because of that, because Paul had done that, he and Silas were thrown in a prison. Tough circumstances. What would you be doing during the circumstances? Complaining that God allowed this to happen to you? I always try to put myself in those places, and I'm going, "Lord, is my faith that strong?" When you're going through something hard, are you looking in your weakness for his strength? It doesn't change when it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so what we see here, in the beginning of this, like I said, we're going to get going. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We'll read the verses there through 28. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. These guys are chained about their feet. They're chained to the wall. They are going nowhere. They are in a time of persecution. In America, we know nothing about it. Do you know how many hundreds of believers were just killed over in the Middle East, in Syria? Just this past 2 weeks, because they were believers in Jesus Christ? When we complain about our circumstances, are we willing to be able to be like Paul and Silas, to sing, to praise God at midnight? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Yesterday, when I went to visit the man in the hospital, he's in intensive care. I talked with Pastor Kenny, and I'm going, boss, is okay, I go that way? I kind of liked it. You know, as I said, I was pastor a lot of years. I was an associate pastor for a lot of years. I was the pastor here for a lot of years. And I tease Pastor Kenny all the time. And he'll ask me certain things, and I say, oh, you want my what I think on that? Yes. Okay, but you got to understand, not my monkey, not my circus. You're the one responsible for this. And so I've talked to him about going and making this visit in the hospital, if that's what he would have me to do. Family had called. They're not part of this church. The ex-wife has visited this church. He's a man we've been praying for, and he's hurting. He's coming close towards the end. Okay? I don't know if he's got a year. I don't know if he's got 6 months. I don't know if he's got a month. He just went for dialysis, got moved from one intensive care to another. And we're talking, and he goes, this is my friend. And he goes, no, actually, this is a pastor. And so all of a sudden, I get a funny look from the women, from the nurses taking care of him. And so at times, you know, it's like, have you ever felt like the centurion, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief? Well, he's questioning some things, and I'm going over scripture with him. So even though I knew he was saved and he knew he was saved, he's just doubting some things. I went through salvation because the nurses had to stay in there to take care of him. Okay? So guess what? They heard it by osmosis. Maybe that's the reason he was in intensive care there. I don't know. Because whether we live, whether we die, we are what? We're his. They went out of the room, and the Lord led me to sing, there is coming a day when the heartache shall come. And I'm singing this, and a tear starts going down his face, and it wasn't because of my voice. I didn't make him cry. It wasn't that bad. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm singing, and the lady comes in, and she has to do something, and he's listening to the hymn, and he's going, Pastor, why'd you choose that one? I says, because that's what the Lord led me. He says, that's my favorite song. And of course, the nurse going, and you have such a nice voice. And I go, and you're such a liar, but Jesus can forgive that too. Okay? See, what you have here is the preparation for salvation. You know, when you put on the whole armor of God that Pastor Kenny's just preached through, he just finished it up, didn't he? What's the first thing you do once you put the armor on? Praying with all prayer and supplication. So they were praying at midnight. They'd been beaten with rods. They'd been in prison. Their feet were in stocks. Their backs were lacerated. They were bloody. They were swollen. And they're in pain. They're sitting in a dark, smelly, rat and roach-infested dungeon. And they gave testimony to the wonderful mercy and grace of God. Think about that. They began to make prayer. Began to make prayer. Prayer doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by accident. Do you begin to make prayer? Those that seek me early shall. Your day ought to start with, good morning, Jesus. And it ought to close at night with, thank you, good night, Lord. Got you through another day. Psalm 42. Let me see here. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. See just what Paul and Silas were doing? And in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Look at verse 11 of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. They began to make prayer. They were, you know, they're probably praying for God to strengthen them to get through what they're going through. I tell you over and over again, God doesn't necessarily remove you from the trials, the troubles, the sickness, the persecution. He brings you through it. I will be with thee. They're probably praising God, you know. They're praying and they're asking God to strengthen them, to help them forgive their persecutors. If you will not forgive, you will not witness. Remember that. When I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you hold bitterness towards people, that's what will deal with you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I guarantee you, they're asking and helping. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they... Lost people don't know what they're doing. It's hard enough that Christians sometimes don't know what they're doing because they don't spend enough time with him and in his word. Praying for their persecutors. Wanting to reach Jesus Christ. How would you pray in that situation? I'm asking myself that. Lord, what would I have done? Lord, help me to be able to do that which glorifies you. Because I know that in me, just like the Apostle Paul said, and I don't measure up to him. In Romans 7, he says, I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. For the will is the present with how the will is the present with me. How to perform that? Don't find it. So many times. So the preparation for salvation, they made prayer. They began to praise God. They began to praise him. You ever think about that? Praise him? Do you praise him? Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Praise him. They began to praise him. They praised him for his great salvation. Maybe they praised him for the privilege of suffering for him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So they're praising him. On the trip, was that the third or the fourth one when we went to India on the missions trip that our son went with us? The third trip. That's when AJ's heart changed on India so much. Because we went to a baptism in the river. Shall we gather at the river? Yeah, we did. Okay. And Dr. Paul is baptizing people there. And one of the young women, not a teenager, a young woman in her 20s, comes up out of the water and Paul's having him give a testimony. And she gives a testimony, I thank God that he loved me enough to save me and that I now will lose my family, but I praise Jesus because I have a new family. Because when a Hindu comes to Christ and professes it publicly, in some of those villages they are put to death almost every time. They're considered dead to their family. We were there, it was like 14, 15 people getting baptized. a riverboat was going by. Other people came by because they washed their clothes where? In those villages, in this river. And she was had tears running down her face. And my son looked at me. And he's going, Dad, would we have that same joy? We go into a mountain area, and this man who's under Brother Paul, Dr. Paul, and he has him overseeing 10 churches in this area. They speak a different dialect. They didn't speak Hindu. They didn't speak Telugu. They spoke Kerala because Paul speaks 5 languages. When you see that man up here and you think sometimes, well, he may struggle a little bit with his English, that's one of 5 languages that he has to speak continually. And we're there, and I've told this before, and my son is watching, and I'm getting a chance to preach to about 1,000 people. They've got people come from the villages, and we're outside this man's house, okay? And his wife is bragging on us. Look at how good my husband is providing for me. God is so good to us. A black house with stucco on the outside. No windows, bars. No indoor plumbing. They cooked over a wood fire outside. The separation of the walls, they'd gotten these big old pieces of cardboard and tied them up with ropes. And that's what separated room from room. And they're praising God and they're so happy. And this woman looks at my son AJ. He's asking her a question. She can speak English. And he goes, God is so good and my husband loves me so much. We no longer live on the dunghill. Because when they first started their church and they came into that village, they were forced there. Would I be praising? God was preparing for a great event to take place. The Philippian jailer gets saved and a church starts in Philippi. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They're witnessing to the glory and power of God. Moving of God took place. It was seen through an earthquake. Can you imagine that? The jailer falls asleep on his job. An earthquake happens in the bars of the doors burst open. He's going to kill himself because the punishment for not doing your job and keeping them in is death. And it would have been a torturous death, so he's going to kill himself. And Paul yells to him and tells him, we are all here. We are all here. Do you ever think about it? Sometimes it's a tragedy when you can see the moving of God in your life. Sometimes it's sensing a lack or a need, and you can sense the moving of God in your life. Sometimes it's a blessing, and you can see the moving of God in your life. It can be an event. Sometimes it can be as simple. If you're looking for God, it can be as simple as you're reading your Bible, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit taps you and says, look at this. Look at this. It can be, and the message is being preached. You know, some people come to the altar easily, other people don't come as easily. I don't condemn either one. But if God is speaking to your heart, do you resist the leading of the Spirit to come to the altar? See, he had fallen asleep on duty. The penalty of the prisoner's escaping was death. The jailer, feeling helpless, hopeless, drew his sword. He was going to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. You can read it in this chapter. I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time. He cried out in the prison with a loud voice for the jailer not to harm himself. Paul knew that there was hope for this jailer and that he needed salvation. If Paul had waited, the jailer would have what? Killed himself and gone into a Christless eternity in a burning hell. Not just a Christless eternity without Christ, into a place of eternal torments. There was a need of his salvation. So you have the preparation for salvation. Secondly, you have the cry for salvation. Acts 16, verse 29. This is the jailer. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to what? All that were in his house. He went from suicide to the promise of heaven for all eternity. And his family knew what it was going to cost them. They were ready to listen. On some have compassion, making a difference. On others, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Paul was prepared because he had prayed. He had glorified God. He preached Jesus to them. Not that they had to stop doing this, this, or this, but that they needed Jesus. He knew there was salvation needed. He knew that God was right because of the circumstances. And you hear it from our pulpit all the time. I've always said it. Pastor Kinney says it. Other people have said it. God is always good, and God is always, we just don't always understand. And when you don't understand, go back to the beginning. God is always good. He had the cry of salvation. Don't ever forget this. When someone's going through trials in their life, whatever it might be, that's the best time to tell them about Jesus. Because you know what they're hit with? Their own weakness, their own inability. They're going through it. They need to know there's one who loved them so much that he paid the price for them. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." And they might have it how? More abundantly. When our faith is tried, others will see that. They'll see that it's real and want to try it for themselves. The jailer fearfully and humbly took them out and asked them how to be saved. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When it's real for you, God will be real for you. Amen? When did the prodigal son return to the father? Amen, brother. When he came to himself, when his way was not working. An opportunity, we're praying for a man to come this morning. Pastor's wife Melanie saw him on the side of the road, was going to stop. And she called Pastor, and he goes, "A woman by herself? I don't care who it is." "No, you don't stop and talk to him. Come home. You stay with the kids." She had to go do something. She came back. He went and went to him for 20 minutes. We're praying that he'll either be in the service this morning or tonight. Didn't get saved, but was very, very close. Said he'd like to come. He was crying on the shoulder of the road. God doesn't make any mistakes, people. Doesn't make any mistakes. How simple it is to be saved. Sometimes we make it difficult, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It was offered to him and as to his family, they believed. And salvation was offered to all. And it made no difference how bad they had been. I can't remember the preacher, but Judy and I talk about it. You know, the hardest place to come from to God's righteousness is from self-righteousness. It's easier to go from extreme unrighteousness to God's righteousness than I'm a good person to God's righteousness. And I can't remember the preacher so many years ago. I got saved April 10th, 1977. For some of you were born. Okay? And I can remember a preacher standing up there and he says, God will save them all! From the uttermost to the guttermost. Because they all come the same as a sinner to the Savior. There's no one so wicked that if they'll turn to Jesus, he won't save them. Amen? Still with me? Paul just preached forgiveness to someone who was involved in his beating. They'd been beaten and imprisoned. Who did that? The jailer. You know what Paul was probably thinking of? Acts chapter 7. When as Saul, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen, the first martyr. Stephen looked up into heaven. Saw the Son standing at the right hand of the Father. And Paul had taken part of that persecution. He knew about God's grace. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. He saw how believers in Christ will suffer. Yea, in all that. What? Will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. So you've got the preparation of salvation. You've got the cry of salvation. Acts 16:33-34. And he took them in the same hour of that night, washed their stripes. See, because he just beaten them and caused the bleeding. And was baptized and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He washed their stripes. He got baptized. Go ye therefore in what? Teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, verse 19, part of the Great Commission. He fed them. He fed them. Be kindly affectionate one to another. This is Romans 13:10, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful, in other words, don't be lazy in business. Fervent in spirit, serving who? The Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant, that means ready to pray at any moment. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, opening his home to them. Man, he went from the beater to the feeder. Amen? He rejoiced. He rejoiced. Do you rejoice in your salvation? You spend all your time dwelling on what's wrong and what you don't have. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, and whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that a mouthful? Man, Lord, give me some of that. Give me some of that. He was a witness to his family. Train up a child in the way they shall go. And when they are old, got our own testimony, don't we, Karen? James is leaving, going to work in a ministry in another church. There was a time, James was like a prodigal son. Mama kept praying, Mama going to the altar. Mama's husband's not in this church. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is, not depart from it. Don't judge people by the immediate circumstance. Pray for them. Witness to them. And let them know there is forgiveness found with Jesus. You just never know where that's going to lead. I can remember Pastor Christian. He used to go, say, James, I'm praying for you. Yeah, I know. When you're coming back to church, well, not quite yet, Pastor. Well, I'm praying for you. When he went to school for a while, Pastor Christian sent him money. A lot of you didn't know that. He used to send kids who went to school. He's better than me. I don't send you money. He'd send him a little bit of money to help him as they're going to school. Then he'd come back home. He's working. Stop by the garage. Love you. Praying for you. James is not hiding any of that. He's just so thankful for God. Amen? See, he can use his testimony. I want you to see. It happens in every church when you're willing. When you're willing. That whole family found forgiveness. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, you're going to hear that when we preach Wednesday, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Forgiveness becomes contagious. It becomes contagious. And I have a husband and wife come before me. I have parent and child, and they're holding aught against the other. Many times I'll tell them, look at each other, take each other's hands, look into their eyes, and remember not what was bad, but what was right. Tell them that you love them, and either ask for forgiveness or offer forgiveness. That brings healing. It brings healing. I got 15 minutes to do the next lesson. The Philippian jailer and his family get saved. Go to Acts 28. Paul's in prison. In his own hired house. Somehow he got in favor when he was taken to Rome. He was under house arrest for 2 years. Do you understand that? A church got planted in Rome because someone was under house arrest. 2 years under house arrest, spending time in prison. God gave him favor in the sight of Rome. He rent a house and was guarded there. You know what that shows us in this lesson? We can be a witness for Jesus no matter where we are. Quit looking at what you don't have and look at him who you do have. Don't look at your failures. Look at who God says you are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are... Behold, all things are, present tense, become, imperative... Become new. It's a process. And you can say, God, I thank you that I am not what I used to be. But Lord, help me to be more like you. wherever you are. God's working. He that's begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will perform it until what day? The day of Jesus Christ. God will put us in unusual places to reach unusual people. I've preached in New Zealand. I've preached in Ireland. I've preached in India. I've preached in Canada. And I've preached in South America. I was a freak every place I went. Christians aren't like lost people. I was physically a freak, and you know, because most of the places we went, Judy was normal. This height-challenged, beautiful blonde. She's their size. I'm a freak. You go to Mexico, and I'd stand out in the corner, and all the people would come up, and they'd go, "Ooh, muy grande gringo." And they taught me a phrase. Right? And I don't even know if I can still say it right. It was una película. There will be a film. At a station, at the train station, at a socho, at 8 o'clock tonight. And then we'd give them tracks. And people who could speak Spanish would then talk to them. I'd go to India. And she's normal height over there. I'm a freak. And I told Paul that one time, "You bring me over there because I'm 6'7". And he goes, "No, I bring you there because you're my pastor and you pray." And I go into the village and they all want to touch because they think angels are big. They don't know me very well. And I'd get vermin sometimes and have to wash your hands. And Dr. Paul would say, "Pastor, no touch. Namaste." Bless them, don't touch. And they'd grab my hand and they'd put it on their head and want me to pray. And I'm going, "Lord, I don't have anything for them. But I can pray. I can pray," because some of them were asking. We're in villages, they weren't saved yet. "But I can pray. And if they're looking at me as a freak and they get saved, I'll be a freak for Jesus." There used to be a street preacher in New York City, and he'd wear the billboard signs, and he'd walk up and down Times Square. And on the front, it would say, "I'm a fool for Jesus." And on the back, it would say, "Whose fool are you?" What are you willing to be for Jesus? The Apostle Paul said, "I become all things to all men, that I by all means may win some." The Jews wanted Paul put to death. There was no basis for it. Because he was a Roman Caesar, he appealed unto Rome. They had to protect him under Roman rule, and he had to have a fair trial, and it spared him from the Jews. He ended up in Rome under house arrest, waiting for his trial. He was permitted to have visitors and freely preach and teach in his house. It was at this time that Paul wrote house arrest, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. It's commonly believed that Paul was released from house arrest around 63 A.D., and they believe that's possibly the time when he traveled to Spain. You'll find that in Romans chapter 15, verses 24 and 28. In that time, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. He was later imprisoned in Rome again, and this time it was not so easy. Turn to 2 Timothy. It was not so easy this time. 2 Timothy 2. In verse 9, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." His ticket's been punched, people. He's going to die. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." What? "I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his what? His appearing. They believe he was martyred around 68 A.D., the testimony that we have. You notice when you read this account, when Paul was in Rome, you hear no mention of Peter being there. Because he wasn't. No matter what a certain church tries to teach. Okay? So now let's go to Acts 28. Got on your running shoes? Okay. Acts 28. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, in whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading and concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening, the whole day. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, that's Isaiah, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He was preaching and teaching the truth. John 17, 17. The high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. He's praying for his believers, for his disciples. And he says, sanctify them through thy word is. You can have absolute assurance of salvation if your relationship is with Jesus. You will never have it through religion. There'll be Baptists who go to hell because they're trusting in being good Baptist and not Jesus Christ. You know what false religion will tell you? We must first be convinced ourselves before we can effectively convince others. Do you know that a lost person can lead a lost person to the Lord if they give them Scripture? How much more a believer who has the help of the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, people got saved. When you read through the epistles, you read through the book of Acts, you read Romans through Philemon, and you know what you find out? Some people preach Christ to try to get Paul killed. Preach it to his detriment. And you know what Paul said? Whether it was for God's glory or whether it was by contention, Christ is being preached. Amen? Amen. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 6 and 8. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may what? Know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's 1 John 5:13. I just gave you John 17:17, Philippians 2:12, 2 Peter 1:10, Romans 8:38-39, 2 Corinthians 6 and 8, and 1 John 5:13. Paul was convinced. Are you convinced you're saved? Then go convince others. He was so convinced that he arranged for people to come hear him. We just read that. From morning until evening, he'd make arrangements to have people come. You know, sometimes if you just open up your pocketbook and go offer somebody a pot roast, you might be able to preach to them. Maybe it's a spaghetti dinner. I'd always come to a spaghetti meatball sausage dinner. First time I was ever in Joe and Shannon's house, it was over because Joe can cook. Shannon can cook really well, but Joe cooked. I can remember they found out that's my favorite meal, and they invited us over. We went there, Judy and I. We sat down, and the first thing Joe and Shannon said to me is, "We want you to know we hate you." You hate me? I says, "Are you at least going to let me eat the spaghetti meatballs before you throw me out?" Now they're involved in ministry in this church for so many, many years. They got saved before they came here. But God worked in their lives. And I've got to watch each of their children grow up. That's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. I remember when little Michael was actually little. And I want you to know, Xander's always had a chip on his shoulder. Okay? He arranged people to come hear him. You know what he'd tell him? There's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. You know what he'd tell him? Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Right? Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory. He would tell them that he saves by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He would tell them that Jesus was for the Gentiles too. Whosoever may come. He was convinced. He was content. Contentment is a state of being satisfied, pleased, and happy and at ease, no matter what you are going through. For I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:13 is the one that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You won't be able to do it until you learn to be content with such things as you have. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The relationship will always mean more than the things. First Timothy 6:6, you know what the key to contentment is? When you set your eyes upon him. Set your affection on things above and not things where? Colossians chapter 3. But godliness with contentment is great gain. He was content. He was confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He was confident. He was convinced. He was content. He was confident. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. That's why he's always good. I wish you could say that James Bryant Legault cannot lie. But that would be a lie. Acts 28:31. Look at that. Quickly, we're going to finish here. I promise you. I promise, Pastor, I'm trying to finish it. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul knew that God had called him to Rome. If you read the book of Acts, Acts 23, verse 11, you know that's true. He knew where God wanted him to be. Being where God wants you and doing what God wants you to do will give you confidence. Young men can struggle because they want to go serve the Lord. They want to be the missionary. They want to be the pastor. They want to be the evangelist. They want to be these things. And they sometimes forget, and that's the hard part, because we're Americans. We want it, and we want it now. Young women, I want to be married, so they don't wait for the one that God has for them. Saved. All right? And don't realize that God is with you, preparing you in that journey. And when the great affectional door is open, go through that door. Okay? You know what the calling of God is? It's the seeing of a need and willing to say, here am I, send me. Whether it's in church or some other place. Our confidence by faith is that God can work even in the most horrific situations. Paul was convinced, he was content, he was confident, and he was consistent. Paul allowed God to work through him. And we have our Bibles because of that. Through trial, through discouragement, he never quit. He was consistent unto the end. I have finished my course. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul actually said he took pleasure in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. You know when you'll have that? God will always be consistent with you. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It's when you learn to be consistent with him. And all God's people said, take a break.